If you haven't figured that out, Thanksgiving is just a few days away. And so I'm taking a little break from my series in Luke. We'll come back to Luke's gospel after the Advent season. And today we're going to look at a very familiar psalm, Psalm 23 in your Bibles. It's one of those psalms that we probably heard it growing up. If you grew up in the church, maybe many of you memorized it. Very, very familiar psalm, but it's just so rich. And it gives us so many reasons to be thankful to our God. One person said that Psalm 23 is so simple that the littlest child can understand it, but so deep that no one's fully understood it. It's one of those kind of passages of Scripture. Written by David, who was a shepherd, about the Lord, who was his shepherd. The shepherd's psalm, Psalm 23. Would you stand to honor God's word as we look at this psalm? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank you for your word today. And I pray that you would speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message that you have for us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Two men stood up in a worship service and repeated the 23rd Psalm for a church service. One of them was a famous actor, and he did it with magnificent eloquence, and the audience clapped. The second man was an older member of the congregation. He walked up the front of the church with his cane, leaned on his cane, and recited the 23rd Psalm from memory, and there was dead silence. Finally, the actor got up and said, "I know the shepherd's psalm, but this man knows the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." That's the key to this whole psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. That we can know the shepherd. It's a very personal psalm, this psalm of David that he wrote. There's 17 personal pronouns in it. So what you can do is personalize it and put your name in there. Wherever it says my or I, put your name in there. It's God's word, and it's God's word for you today. The Lord is your shepherd. I looked back over notes when I'd preached this before, and I found an old outline that I'd used, and I found 8 reasons to be thankful based off of Psalm 23. I found another outline that said 10 reasons to be thankful. This time I came up with 14. Who knows what next time's going to be? I don't know. But there's a lot of reasons to be thankful. Isn't it interesting how with God's word, as you read it, even a familiar passage of Scripture, you see new things? God continues to speak to you, and you're continually learning, and God's continually speaking. So we're going to look at a bunch of reasons here why we can be thankful off Psalm 23, the things that the Lord, our shepherd, does for us. And the first one is that the Lord will provide for me. The Lord will provide for me. David writes, "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." The New Living Bible says, "I have everything I need." Common English Bible says, "I lack nothing." The RSV says, "I don't need a thing." It's a picture of a flock of sheep with their shepherd who are perfectly satisfied because they have everything they need. Perfectly satisfied. And that's the picture that we have of our Heavenly Father, God our shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, perfectly provides for us. We have everything we need. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So as we talk about needs, we need to talk about what our most important need is. And a most important need that we have in our life is to know God. That's the most important thing. Everything else pales in comparison to this great need to know God. We were created to know God. We were created to have a relationship with God. One person said it this way, there's like a God-shaped vacuum inside of all of us, a place where only God can fill, to give us that inner satisfaction, that peace, that joy, that hope that we can find nowhere else but in God. But what a lot of people do is they try to use other things to fill that void in their lives. They'll try money, possessions, pleasure, your job, your family, all kinds of things, not bad things, but they're not meant to fill that hole in your heart that only God can fulfill. Until you do that, you will be restless. Until you do that, you will not be satisfied. You will not be at peace until you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is our greatest need. Unlike the sheep in this story, who know their shepherd, sort of, they recognize him, we can really know our shepherd. We can really know him in a personal relationship. And out of that relationship, the Lord provides for us. Everything that we're going to talk about today of the blessings that God gives us flow out of the relationship. If you don't have a relationship, then none of the rest of this is going to make sense. None of the rest of it is real. But if you have a relationship, then the Lord is our shepherd. And he provides for us, just like a shepherd provides for his sheep. Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. So we seek first his kingdom. Our relationship with God is first. He provides that for us. Then he'll provide everything else because he's our good shepherd. Number two, the Lord will give me rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, this one's not designed for anybody to go to sleep right now in the middle of the sermon. Okay, that's not that kind of rest we're talking about. Sheep, who, in order for sheep, a flock of sheep to rest, they got to have some things taken care of. They have some fears removed. The fear of tension with other sheep. If they're fighting with the other sheep, they're not going to lay down and rest. Another thing they need to take care of is the fear of insects or parasites. If they're bugged by those, they're not going to lay down and rest. A third thing for sheep is they have to be well fed. They're not going to lay down if they haven't eaten. So a good shepherd will take care of his sheep. So in a sense, he makes them lie down in green pastures. He enables them to rest because their fears are taken care of. Their fears are removed and they have rest and they can lay down and get the rest that they need. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd and he provides for us the rest that we need. He has conquered our fears, and he invites us to rest in him. Jesus said these words. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. The kind of rest that Jesus gives us is not just like being able to go to sleep at night. That might be part of it. But it's a rest of the soul, an inner, deep rest where we're trusting in God, we're resting in him, we're at peace deep down inside of our hearts. We trust him and we find this rest. This kind of rest is an active rest. In other words, it goes with us throughout the day. It's with us always, this rest deep down in our hearts that he wants to give us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He gives us the rest that we need. Thirdly, we see the Lord will give me peace. It says he leads me beside quiet waters. I don't know about you, but I love sitting by a river, watching the water flow by, or a little stream, or sitting by a beautiful mountain lake and just watching the quiet water. It's just kind of soothing to the soul in a way to see the quiet water go by. And I think David, in his experience of taking care of the sheep, has been many places where he found quiet water for them to drink and be safe and get the thirst taken care of that they have. And he's imagining that the Lord is our shepherd. He will lead us by quiet waters. And I think it tells us that he will be our peace. He'll give us peace. It's symbolic of the peace that he gives us through his Holy Spirit. This isn't a peace that is fragile. It's not a peace that is easily broken or can disappear. It's a peace that is strong and resilient, a peace that comes from God, knowing that the Lord is our shepherd and he is with us. It's a peace that's available to us even when everything else is stormy. You know, it's not very peaceful when you're sitting by a flooding river and watch it go by, right? But even when the floods go by, you can still have peace from God because we have that inner peace that God gives us, the quiet streams of his presence, so to speak, flowing through our lives. He gives us peace. The Lord also, in John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you." Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. "My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Peace. The Lord gives us peace. "The Lord will keep me going." Next, says he restores my soul. He keeps me going, restores me. There's a story that's told of sheep, and I don't know a lot about sheep except what I've read. I know that, sadly, the comparison between us and sheep is not very kind toward us. But that's what Jesus says. We are kind of like sheep. But sheep sometimes, when they are maybe a little bit overweight or pregnant, will find a place to lay in the ground where there's a little hollow, a little dip in the ground, and then they'll roll over and they'll be on their backs with their feet straight up in the air and they can't move. It's called being cast, a cast sheep. It's where we get our word in English for being downcast. The sheep, feet up in the air, on their back, can't roll either way, can't get out of the hole that they're in, just wiggling their feet in the sky. And the bad news is if a shepherd doesn't find a sheep like that, they die because they cannot rescue themselves. They'll die. But a shepherd will come along, a good shepherd will find the sheep, pick it up, rub circulation back into its legs and get it going again. It is restored, ready to keep going. Sometimes we find ourselves downcast, don't we? Sometimes by our own choices, own decisions that we make. Sometimes by other things that happen to us, and we find ourselves like the sheep, our back down, our feet up in the air, and we're making a lot of motion, but we're not getting anywhere. We can't go anywhere. And the Lord, our good shepherd, comes along to help us. And oftentimes we sadly say, "It's okay, Lord, I got this." As our feet are up in the air, wiggling in the sky, "I got this, I can do this," when we can't. And the Lord patiently waits, ready to restore us, ready to help us. If we'll just call on him, our good shepherd, and when we call on him, he picks us up, rubs the circulation back into us, so to speak, restores us. Maybe we need forgiveness. Whatever we need, he gives it to us and gets us going again. He's the Lord who keeps us going. He sustains us. Psalm 54:4 says, "Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me." The Lord will keep me going. He keeps us going. Next, we see that the Lord will guide me. "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, they say that sheep are very nearsighted. They can only see about 15 yards. I'm not sure how many sheep they interviewed to figure that out, but how do they figure these things out? But they're nearsighted. They don't see a long ways. And they're creatures of habit, amazing habit. So if you've ever been in a place where there's a lot of sheep, you'll see trails everywhere that have become ruts, that have become like ditches, because the sheep go on the same path every single time. They don't deviate off that path. So they're nearsighted. And they're creatures of habit. They need a shepherd to get where they need to go, to find what they need to find, to eat and to drink. They need a shepherd. They can't make it on their own. We have our own kind of nearsightedness as God's sheep. We can't see the future, can we? We don't know what's ahead. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next year. We also tend to be creatures of habit. We need a shepherd to guide us. And our good shepherd, the Lord, is not limited by time and space like we are. You know what? He knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. He's the one that can perfectly guide us. He will guide us. And he guides us correctly. In paths of righteousness, it says. For his name's sake, he will guide us. You know, shepherds in the Eastern world, where they have still have shepherds out and flocks out in the fields, they guide their sheep by voice. And I remember reading one guy who was talking about going to the eastern part of the world and seeing three flocks of sheep come down to a watering hole. And he said they all melded together. And he said, how in the world are these shepherds going to tell which is their sheep? They all look exactly the same. What's going to happen? He watched them all drink. And then one of the shepherds started walking away and he called out and all of his sheep followed him because they knew his voice. And another shepherd took off and he made a call and all his sheep followed him. Jesus used that as an illustration and he said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. That's how he guides us, by his voice. He speaks to us so many ways, through his word, in prayer. He speaks to us and he will guide us if we'll listen to him. The scripture says in Psalm 48, for this is God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Our guide to the end. That's good news. Next we see the Lord will give me courage. The Lord will give me courage. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Philip Keller has written a book called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. In this, he suggests that the psalm depicts a year in the life of a sheep. And this verse refers to the move from the lowlands of the spring to the high tablelands where they'll spend the summer in the summer grazing land. And to get there, they have to go through these dark, shadowed valleys, where there's potential danger and problems. In Israel, if you were to go there and go from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea, it's a four-mile trip, 3,100 feet change in elevation. It's steep, and there's dark valleys, a place where sheep could be of danger. And so he suggests that it could be, he's referring to the sheep, dark time, the valley of the shadow of death, so to speak, but they will fear no evil because the shepherd's with them. For us, I think we can apply it in a lot of different ways, because we're aware of the valley of the shadow of death, aren't we? And it seems like death kind of comes in installment plans, so to speak. In other words, the world is under the curse of death, and there's disease, there's sickness, there's problems and challenges, and you know, loved ones die, and then, of course, someday we will pass through. If the Lord doesn't return before then, we'll pass through that pathway of death to the other side, to heaven, where God has prepared a place for us. But whatever we go through, what we would call the valley of the shadow of death, we don't need to be afraid. Amen? Because the Lord of light defeats the shadow of death. We have no fear of death. And anything that death can do to us, we can have courage. God told Joshua when Joshua was getting ready to go in and take the promised land. In Joshua 1 verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So that we can have courage because the Lord is with us. We also see that the Lord will bless me with his presence. David says there, I will not fear, for you are with me. We're lost without the shepherd. We need our shepherd every day. A flock of sheep would be lost without their shepherd, and so we would be lost without our shepherd. We need him more than we even understand. You know, I think it's interesting in the Old Testament times when God was leading the people through the Exodus, remember that story, and they were living in the desert, and God guided them at day by a cloud and night by fire. And he hovered over them. He provided manna for them to eat. He provided water for them. He provided quail for them to eat. He took care of everything. It's amazing. God took care of every need. And you know one thing that they never saw and you never read in the scripture that never happened? You never got the people in the Exodus leaving God's presence. You know, they were supposed to get up in the morning and look and see if God was still there and see if the cloud was still there. If it was, they stayed. If the cloud was moving, they followed him. They never, ever left God's presence. You know why? He was their life. He was their life. They knew if they left, they would die. He was their life. And God is still that source of life for us. He is everything to us. We need Him more than we understand. And He blesses us with His presence. His presence makes all the difference. His presence makes all the difference. Jesus said this to His disciples when He was giving them the Great Commission. He said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The presence of the shepherd makes all the difference for the sheep. And God's presence makes all the difference for us. I remember a story when our kids were really young growing up in our house in Meridian that we lived. Our girls were small. There was a violent storm that broke out, one of our nice Idaho summer thunderstorms, you know. Thunder, lightning, rain, hail, whatever. I mean, it was just scary. And our two little girls, Katie had jumped in bed with Kara because she was afraid, and they called out. And I went in there and sat down on the bed and began to talk to them and tell them, "You're going to be okay. It's a thunderstorm. We're safe in the house. Don't need to worry." And I just talked to them for a little bit. And then I just sat on the bed with them for a while. And it wasn't very long that they were both fast asleep. And the storm was still raging outside. Thunder and lightning and rain. But what made the difference to them was the presence of their Father. And that's what the Lord does for us. His presence makes all the difference. When we're going through those storms, when we're going through troubles or challenges, He is with us always. And it makes all the difference when the Lord is with us. The Lord blesses us with His presence. The Lord will give me comfort. David says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, shepherds in that day always had a staff, you know, like a big walking stick that they would carry around. It was to help them. It was to help maybe guide the sheep sometimes. And it was a weapon if a predator came around. They would also carry a rod, and which would be like a club, you know, that they could use for a weapon. So the sheep felt safe because the shepherd was there to protect them. He would give them comfort. And the Lord comforts us, and He comforts us out of His amazing strength. It's not like He's just feeling sorry for us. He comforts us out of His strength. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort and compassion." Our amazing, all-powerful God loves us incredibly and gives us the comfort we need when we need it. The Lord will give me comfort. Next, we see the Lord will protect me. The psalmist says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now, commentators disagree exactly what that means. So let me just tell you a couple ideas. Philip Keller, in his book, suggests that the table is referring to the mountain lands where the sheep go up to graze in the summertime. That is the table that is prepared for them in the presence of their enemies because there's predators up there. And so the Lord, the shepherd, prepares that meal for them, this great place where they can graze, and it protects them from the enemies. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is a custom that was in the time of King David. When a visitor would come to your house, or a lot of times they lived in tents then, come in your tent, you were under that person's protection. So even if they had enemies that were trying to get them, if someone came to visit David in his tent, they were under David's protection. So David would provide a meal for them in the presence of the enemies. They couldn't do anything to them under David's protection. I wondered in just my own thinking if this could be partially meaning for us that our enemy is the devil, we know that. And maybe this meal that's prepared for us could symbolize this amazing relationship we have with Christ, this feast of a relationship of knowing God through Jesus Christ, and yet the devil can't do anything about it. We have a feast in the presence of our enemies. He's frustrated that we trust in God, but he can't do anything about it. He's defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The Lord will help us. He will protect us. Back in Exodus 14, when they were getting ready to cross over that Red Sea story, said, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Be still. In other words, trust God. He will protect you. The Lord will protect me. We also see the Lord will heal me. The Lord will heal me. You anoint my head with oil. Now, in that day, shepherds always carried oil with them. The oil was used, if the sheep had parasites or something, it would be for that. Or if they had cuts or bruises, they would take the oil, rub it in their hands, and rub it on the sheep to bring healing to the sheep. The shepherd cared that his sheep were well. We have a good shepherd who heals. He knows what we need, and he's a God who heals. Exodus 15:26 says, I am the Lord who heals you. The Lord can heal us, most importantly, spiritually, through forgiveness of our sins. We can be healed. He can heal us mentally, emotionally, physically, according to his will. God is a great healer. He is the Lord who heals. Also, the Lord will give me joy. The psalmist said, my cup overflows. I think that's a sign of joy, don't you think? My cup overflows. Jesus is our good shepherd. In John chapter 10, he says, I've come that you might have life and you might have it to the full. Abundant life. You know, one of the lies of the enemy is that the God is a killjoy. He doesn't want us to be happy. He doesn't want us to enjoy life. He wants us to rob all our joy from us. The truth is, God is the author of joy. He wants you to enjoy this life. He wants to give you his amazing joy. His amazing joy. And that comes from a relationship with him. A joy that nothing can take away. Nothing can take it away. Peter, writing in his letter, said, though you've seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. I wonder, and this is a strange example, but just stick with me for a minute. I wonder if we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see some packages of joy up there, piles and piles of joy with our name on it that God wanted us to have here now and we didn't receive it. We didn't receive that joy of the Lord that he wants to give us. He wants to bless us with his joy. He's a God of joy. All right, I need a couple amens right there. Okay, that's better. We need to live in the joy of the Lord. He's blessed us so much. We see that the Lord will never abandon me. Will never abandon me. It says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. So I don't want you to be paranoid, but let me just share something with you. You're being followed. You ever thinking somebody's following you? He is. It says you're being followed by the goodness and love of the Lord. It's a great Old Testament word called chesed, the love and goodness of God. It's a love that pursues us. He will never give up on us. He's with us to the end. He's not just with us partway, all the way. He will never abandon us. That's why Paul, when he was writing to the Philippians, says, he who began a good work in you, will carry it on until completion to the day of Christ Jesus. Because he's never going to abandon us. In Deuteronomy 31, we read these words, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said something very similar when he sent his disciples out with the Great Commission. I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord will never abandon us. Amen. We also see the Lord will make room for me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For sheep, the shepherds would provide a place for them where they would be safe and sleep and be protected. But for us, the Lord is making a room for us. He's invited us, amazingly, to live with him forever. Jesus said it this way, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Put your name in there. A place for you. You see, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die on a cross for your sins, so that when you repent of your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ, you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his son. And you're invited to go live with God forever. Isn't that amazing? No, you guys don't believe it's amazing. It's really amazing that God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that holds everything together, invites you to live with him at his place. He's making a place for us. Let that sink in for a minute. It is just absolutely amazing. The Lord will make room for us. Put your name in there. The last word of the psalm is forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord will give me eternal life. The Lord will give me eternal life. Good news to you, we're going to live forever. We're going to live forever. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're going to live forever with him in a place that he's prepared for us called heaven when we leave this earth. And time is going by so fast, my friends. And he could come back any day to take us too. That could happen anytime. He gives us eternal life. Eternal life is more than just forever. It is the best, most amazing quality of life you can imagine. It wouldn't be any good to live forever if you were miserable, right? We won't be miserable. We'll be blessed beyond what we can imagine. This eternal life where we'll live in this relationship with him forever and ever. It's amazing. Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Eternal life in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. That is good news. I want to challenge you this week sometime. Take some time and read Psalm 23 again. See what God says to you. You might find a lot more things than I found as I read through this. But God speaks to us through his word. Think about it. Thank him for all that he does for you. He does so much for us. We are so blessed, both now and forever. We're going to sing a song together as we close our service. And as always, it's a time, if you need to pray, you can come and pray. The Lord, our shepherd, is here with us, and he invites us to come to him. That's the good news about our shepherd. He never says, he always says, come. If you need to pray, come, and we'll pray with you.